Hello, awesome humans, and welcome to today's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and I'm so grateful that you're here. As a quick reminder, we record this podcast with a live virtual audience, so you will hear me respond to comments and questions throughout. If you'd like to join our live audience, I would love it. You can go to nataliecogan.com to see the schedule of upcoming shows and to sign up. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just take a deep breath to arrive in this moment right now. This time is for you, and I hope you find this episode really valuable.
It's been a while since we've all gathered. I'm just opening chat to make sure that I can see everyone who's here. Welcome, everyone. I got so many emails this morning from folks telling me that it's school vacation week in the US and many of you are traveling. So I just want to remind you that you will, of course, get a recording. So no worries if you can't be here live. But if you're here live, welcome. This is a very special impromptu episode of the Awesome Human Podcast because I am in Mexico City. And if you're here live, you're seeing me in our awesome Airbnb here. I came here to do an amazing keynote that I did last Sunday. I'll tell you a little bit about it in a moment. And this impromptu episode, we're going to have a special guest, my husband, Avi, who's here with me, who is upstairs in our Airbnb. He's going to join me in a few minutes. And we're going to talk about a topic that I've gotten a lot of questions in the last year or so. And I just thought, let's do an episode since we're here together. Just around integrating work and life. And if you read my weekly emails, which I hope you do, and if you don't, just go to nataliecogan.com and subscribe. I wrote an email earlier this week about how much I hate this idea of work-life balance and how I think it causes so much unnecessary stress. And we're going to talk about that. And I got some really interesting responses and questions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So it's a completely impromptu episode. Avi and I did not plan it out, but I think it's going to be a really fueling conversation. We've been together for a long time. We'll talk about that, 27 years. And we have screwed up a lot of things. But one thing that we have figured out through a lot of mistakes is how to integrate work and life, not just in our relationship, but in our family. So that's what we're going to talk about. Again, welcome to those of you who are here. Would you say hello in chat? And just maybe as a way to, I always try to think of, we used to have one prompt, right? We used to always begin with, today I'm an awesome human because I want to try something different today. How about say hello, maybe say where you're dialing in from and share one thing you're looking forward to this week. I was reading this really interesting article on the plane on the way to Mexico City about how really focusing on things that we look forward to doesn't just make us happier. I'm sure you're familiar with this research. Looking forward to things makes us happier, but how looking and actively anticipating something actually improves your overall motivation to do other things. So say hello in chat. And all right, Debbie, you're awesome. You get the Awesome Human Award for going first. And share something you're looking forward to. Debbie is looking forward to her trip with her to DC with her 9-year-old daughter. I love it. Spending time with my wife. Hi, Melissa from Oregon. Looking forward to camping with my honey. Oh my goodness, camping. I have to tell you guys, since this is a community and I just like to share myself pretty openly. Well, Avi will be here in a few minutes and he'll tell you my idea of camping, like my perfect camping is all day in nature. I love walking. I love like nature. And then you go to a nice hotel. That's my idea of camping. That's my favorite way to camp. So I love it, but I hope you enjoy, Melissa. Some folks have some days off, lots of travel, glamping. Okay, see Beth, maybe this is what I'm missing in my life is some glamping. I love this. I love what everyone's sharing. We just had an influx of new folks dial in. So hi, everyone. And again, I know I said this at the beginning, but I got so many emails. We have a smaller group here live because it's school vacation in the US, which I didn't really think about it. So please don't worry. I know some of you are actually on vacation and dialing in. If you need to drop off, you'll get the recording. So I want to say a couple things. I just want to share a couple things before Avi joins us and we talk about what's a better way to think about work and life other than work-life balance, which I think is very stressful. And Avi and I are also going to talk about just in our relationship, how we have found ways to really support each other's work and share each other's work, and how that's actually been much more fueling than trying to keep work out. But again, for those of you who've just joined, this is an impromptu episode. I'm in our Mexico City Airbnb. I came here, I gave a keynote on Sunday at a really special event that was held by the largest Jewish community here. And they put on kind of a TED-like event with speakers from all over the world. And the theme was happiness. And it was really, really great to be part of it. If you're familiar with the work of Tal Ben-Shahar, he's actually written a book called Happier. He taught the most popular course at Harvard for many years on happiness. And Tal and I met years ago, and so it was really fun to hear him speak. And so I spoke about what my journey as a refugee, coming to the U.S. as a refugee 35 years ago, has taught me about happiness. And what I shared is it was all about connection, that genuine happiness, we can never get it from anything on the outside. Our brain thinks we can, right? We get into this, I'll be happy when I get this job, when I move to a new house, when this frustrating thing ends. We think we'll be happy then, but it's actually doesn't work like that. We can only cultivate it on the inside. And I talked about how happiness is about connection. It's about being connected to ourselves, knowing ourselves, accepting ourselves, loving ourselves, having the courage to do what feels deeply good, what brings us joy. And I actually talked about how painting and allowing myself after 40 years to paint has created this incredible explosion of love and healing and creativity in my life and the life of everyone around me. I'm actually wearing my art today. Now that I get to say it, I'm wearing one of my art t-shirts. This is one of my favorite paintings, and I made a t-shirt out of it. Didn't even realize I was wearing it. So it's fun to share with you all. So happiness is about feeling connected to yourself, feeling connected to others, right? Cultivating warm relationships with people in our lives. We cannot be happy without that. Creating moments of positive human connection. Avi and I talk a lot about, we love Mexico City. This is our third time here. We try to make it an annual pilgrimage. And one of the things we love about the city is how warm people are. Just in the course of our day, going to shops, cafes, or museums, we just have these warm interactions with people. That's such an essential part of happiness, is feeling connected to others. And feeling connected to a purpose, feeling connected to something that is greater than you. And during my keynote, I talked about my grandpa, Misha. I think I've shared this before, but a couple of years before he died, and he lived till 97. He died 3 years ago. I'm very lucky. My grandparents were alive for a lot of my life. I asked him, I interviewed him, and I said, tell me what happiness means to you. And he said, oh, that's very easy. Happiness is about being useful to someone else. And I loved being able to share this with 1,000 people during my keynote. And I put up a photo of when I was interviewing him, and he was peeling oranges for me as we were talking. And to his last day, my grandpa would find ways to be useful, even when he could hardly walk. And he derived such joy from that. So that was my keynote. And I just wanted to share that with you all just as a reminder for your day, to find ways to connect with yourself, to appreciate yourself, to do what brings you joy, to find ways to connect with others. Being here right now, or listening, if you're listening to the recording, or you're listening on a podcast, on your podcast app later, this is a way for us to connect. This is why I do these live podcasts. Doing something kind for someone during the day, expressing your gratitude, and feeling connected to something greater than you. And, you know, we often think that purpose is somewhere out there, but it's not. It's about sharing something within you in a way that it helps or contributes to someone else. And I think that my grandpa's words about being useful to someone else, there's such a, I don't know, I'm not sure how I can put it better. So I just wanted to share that and about my keynote. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram. If you do, I shared this. So I decided to do my introduction. I speak pretty decent Spanish. I had a couple of years in school and I'm pretty good at languages. I speak pretty decent Spanish. I understand probably 90%, but I haven't practiced. And so my vocabulary is like gone, but I wanted to do the introduction to my keynote in Spanish. And I did. And the reason I mentioned Instagram is I actually shared the beginning of my talk that I did in Spanish. And if you don't follow me, it's at Natalie Kogan. And I just wanted to mention that too, because I messed up like a bunch of times. Even though I rehearsed the Spanish part, I'm definitely messed up a bunch of times. But as I finished my intro, the audience started to clap. And it just was this reminder that authenticity is better than perfect, right? Like, I didn't get it perfectly, but I was authentic. I was myself. I did something to really foster a moment of connection. And it was such a powerful reminder that I think is such a core theme and everything that I try to share with you all. Authentic is always better than perfect. Nobody cared that I messed up, but they really cared that I brought just my full self there and that I tried to do something to help us connect. And it's such a great reminder. I think so many people and myself, sometimes we struggle with like needing to get it perfect. No one wants your perfect. They just want your human, as I like to say. So just wanted to share that and why I'm in Mexico City and why Avi and I are in Mexico City. But now let's talk about what we're here to talk about. What I know many of you are joining to talk about is integrating work and life and figuring out how to do that in our families and our relationships for ourselves. And we'll talk about my strong dislike of work-life balance and what I think we can do instead. Avi, if you would turn your camera on, I will spotlight you. We're very funny because Avi is upstairs. Hold on, I'm going to spotlight Avi. Okay, here we are. Hi, Avi.
Hi, Natalie. Sound check?
Well, sound check. We're doing this in two separate locations in the Airbnb, and just a warning to everyone, because of course there's construction going on, and of course there's loud barking dogs. So we figured we'll be on our headphones, but not in the same room. But FYI, if you guys hear lots of noise, bear with us. We're in a city, can't do anything. So I don't think this is Avi's first time on the podcast, but hi, Avi, and thank you for joining us. Yeah, it's definitely not. No, last time Avi joined as a guest, everyone was so excited about him being here. So I figured, let's chat. Okay, so let's dive in. So Avi and I have been together for 27 years. What? We met in college. It's pretty surreal. Our daughter, Mia, who's almost 20, is now a sophomore at Wesleyan University where we met. So it's pretty surreal. So we've basically lived our whole life together, starting as like we were so young. We had no idea what we're doing. And we've definitely screwed up lots of things. But one thing that we've really learned through a lot of our screw ups is like our work and life is very integrated. So I've been talking for a lot of time. So Avi, I'm going to ask you to talk about, you can just dive in and talk about how one of the ways, Avi's probably my longest mentorship client.
Yes.
Whether he wants it or not, we go for these walks or even throughout our day, and he'll ask me a question about leading a team or something, and I give him the Natalie coaching TED Talk. So Avi, can you just talk about that a little bit? Because I think from the outside, sometimes people might look at us and like, we talk a lot about our work, but we actually really love it, and I think it brings us closer. Can you talk about that? That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I don't want to like bias you.
That's great. Well, if you recall the last time, I think I was a surprise interviewer. Called me the interviewer, and then you flipped it around and you started asking me questions. And so thank you for just teeing it up so graciously. It's interesting. And I love this moment because it's funny, we don't often dissect or talk about our relationship and like judge or gauge it, you know, are we doing things well? It's more of a, do we feel it? And if something feels off, then we try to recalibrate, and we're generally honest about that. But I think particularly as I would say, perhaps as my job has gotten more and more intense over the years, and then certainly as I started leading and growing bigger and bigger teams, you feel yourself more responsible for people. And this has been particularly with you, Natalie, just instrumental. And so as you may or may not know, to the audience, I've hired Natalie multiple times for many of my team offsites. And she'll come in for a day to do workshops. She'll come on Zoom to do different sessions. And these have been incredible team building sessions where we just forge just this greater sense of connection and you get out of the tactical and you really tap into yourself. And so we often, Natalie and I take the, we sort of pull on these threads. And as she was saying, throughout our day, and certainly just in the last 72 hours as we've been here, I'm going through this big change at work, and we find ourselves throughout the day talking. We're sitting at a cafe, and we'll have a 12-minute conversation that turns into this mindset shift for me as I talk about the change that I'm going through, how I'm thinking about positioning it. And of course, Natalie will have some insight, both because she knows me so well and can offer guidance for how I can operate and sort of bring the right lens to how I'm thinking about it. But also, you know, she spent 20 years or whatever in executive jobs, and so can relate very tactically to a lot of the politics and other things that are going on. And so it just makes it very tangible. And I even told her this morning, like she said yesterday, it sort of broke my brain in how I'm rethinking how I want to approach this particular situation that's kind of forthcoming in the next couple of weeks.
Very eloquent way to put that, obviously being so nice. So I think the question that a lot of people might want to ask, and by the way, I should have said, we really want to answer your guys' questions. So put them in
Yes.
the Q&A or you can put them in chat, but like whatever questions you have around this topic or anything else, like that's what this impromptu episode is about. So put your questions where we can see them, Q&A or chat. One of the things that I think I should say, and I feel like my mom is right here. My parents adore Avi, and my mom always says this. One of the reasons this works, I am a natural teacher. For better or worse, that's who I am. That's why I do what I do, right? That's why, like, if you ask me to describe the function, like the core of what I do is I teach people how to live more fulfilling lives. I'm a natural teacher. Like, I've just always been this way. And so it's very natural for me to like give insight, give advice. Like I'm always looking for opportunity to like help people. So it's very natural for me to do that. And Avi is very receptive. And the reason I said I think of my mom was always like, "Oh my God, Avi's listening to you." Like, which I think is really funny. Like the expectation is the husband like ignores the wife, I think is such a weird idea in the culture. But Avi is really receptive. And I do want to say like it does require that from both people to be like receptive and open to getting advice, giving advice. That's why this works for us. I think if both of us were like not open to that or not open to sharing, it wouldn't work as well. But one of the things, just like listening to Avi and talk about this idea of like integrating work and life, and I'll just touch on what I shared in my email that Avi read and we talked about it. One of the reasons I hate work-life balance for many reasons. One of the reasons I hate it is because it sets up work as opposite of life. So like you work and then you have life. And I think work is a wonderful thing. I think working for, you know, it's essential like to work, to express yourself professionally. It's essential to living. And I think it's a horrible idea that we position that you're either working or you're living. And so I hate that opposition. And I also hate it because it makes you do this constant accounting. Avi and I were talking about that. Like, am I working right now? Is this life? Like my keynote, right? Was it life or was it work? Like I shared so much of myself in it and I talked about my family and Avi and I are here together and we met so many wonderful people. So is that work or is that life? And one of the places it gets really stressful is, and Avi and I were talking about this, is trying to categorize things. You know, like I remember trying to do this, like on a weekend, if I was working on my book or if I was thinking about something at work, I'd feel like a total failure. Like I'm a bad mom, I'm a bad wife, I'm thinking about work on the weekend or I have to do work on the weekend. That's awful, right? Like that just creates stress, this constant categorization. And so I wonder for I'd actually love to hear you share this in chat. Like, do you recognize that stress in yourself of like just trying to constantly create, you know, categorize things? But the flip side, and I got a lot of questions about this when I shared this in my email, is don't we need boundaries? Don't we need boundaries? Don't we need to create like work time and non-work time? And I'm a big yes on that. So I
Big
actually want to
time.
talk about that with Avi. And to me, that has nothing to do with work-life balance. It's Work is one expression of you. And then there's other expressions of you. So speaking is one expression of me. Doing this podcast is one expression of me. Painting is another expression of me. Here, I'll show you. I'm playing with some watercolor when I have breaks throughout the day. Right?
Your whole setup, by the way, is way cooler than mine. I'm just going to
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. I can't argue with that.
You
so
have,
it's just.
Yeah.
Just for those of you who are listening, my background is much. Yeah.
Oh, much
okay.
cooler.
So much cooler. Okay. Obviously, I'm on a different floor. But I have, being a mom is an expression of me, right? One of the expressions of me, like something I really need in my life, is quiet and alone time. And we can talk about that too, because Avi likes to talk and I can't talk so much. So instead of thinking of like category work and life, I think thinking about what are the different dimensions of you that need expression in your life, and making sure that you create that as much as you can is a better way. And that's where boundaries are important. Right. So if Avi and I, if all we did was talk about our work all the time, that would be terrible. Like that would not work. But, and so I do want to talk about boundaries and, you know, let's just like get honest from time to time. Avi and I do need to like one to each other be like, okay, like that's enough work. Right. So Avi, talk about that a little, because, you know, Avi and I have shared our work lives for a long time. We even ran a company together at some point, a publishing company. We can talk about that later. But talk about that, because I think it's important to recognize that we do need boundaries, but it's not a boundary between work and life. It's a boundary of, we want to make sure that we're expressing our multiple dimensions, and as a couple, that we're actually sharing multiple dimensions of each other and not just our work selves.
Yeah. Maybe it's like work boundaries, life balance. Right. Rather than trying to create work-life balance, which is this fallacy, as we all know. But it is true. And I've actually gotten the same thing around boundaries from so many of my team members, especially through the pandemic, where they're like, oh my God, I'm online all day and I feel guilty. Like, and how do I transition from my home office to the kitchen or my duties or my family? And I learned this from you. You have to create a physical change. And I've now adopted this myself to transition yourself from your workspace to your, and in some ways mental, from work to family, let's say, or domestic life, very academically. But it is, you know, it's interesting. Like, you take our weekend walks that we go on for, say, an hour and a half. It's not like we're talking about work the whole time, but it's a woven together thing. We'll talk about movies. We'll talk about social plans, and then I will. And if you don't know Natalie, you often need to introduce the topic so she can focus on it. And so I'll say, can I ask you a 15-minute work question? Usually more than 15 minutes, but it becomes incorporated. And actually, if you can somehow achieve that organic nature, it does it. You retain that balance, the harmony that in some ways sort of feels elusive. But yesterday you even said it. I was writing an email on my phone in the evening, and we said we were going to watch a show on Netflix, and you said, this will only work well if you tell me who are you writing to. And boom, that's exactly it. And I obviously wasn't hiding anything, but then I shared, here was the email and here was the situation. Here's why I had to reply, I felt I had to reply to it later in the evening. And then you create that point of connection, and then you can put it away. And there's the boundary, and then you go watch Netflix, and then you're creating that space separation. But that was it. It works if you share it. And again, boundaries, of course. But that organic sharing does make the difference. And it's of course, it's bidirectional. When I ask you about what's going on, did you meet with this person? How was that call, et cetera?
So Actually, just on the boundaries, I want to talk about that. And then I also want to address, because some people are putting this, like Monica just said, it helps to find work you love. And Melissa wrote a comment to host to that I'm going to read, because Melissa, you sent it just to the panelists, which is fine, around like, what if you don't love your job? So I do want to address that. But I just want to say something about the boundaries. It's really important to create boundaries so that you can express different parts of yourself and in a relationship to connect, not just about work. But I think there's something around forcing boundaries. And what Avi just talked about is exactly that. So Avi and I were talking about this yesterday. I used to be really obsessive about like, I'm not gonna bring my work home. I'm not gonna
Yeah,
bring my work
same.
home. And like, and Avi did the same. So I'm like, I'm not gonna talk to Avi about my work. I'm not gonna talk to me about my work. And that actually created so much damage because let's say I was thinking about work or was stressed about something, but I didn't want to share it because, someone, this a woman who's a friend of mine now, but we've also had a mentorship relationship where I've mentored her, and she's a CEO of a company. She said to me, "Things are really stressful now, but I try not to bring it to work because I don't want to burden my family." And I think there's a lot of nuance there because if you're forcing the boundary, right, because you really want to do this work-life balance thing, and you're not actually sharing what you're feeling about work with your family, it actually creates a much worse burden. And this is something that I think is so important to recognize. We all sense each other. So if you are stressed about something at work, if Avi's stressed about something, I feel it. So does Mia when she's home, right? Even she feels it even in college because she'll tell us,
Right.
like, what's wrong? Your guys text, we have this family
Yeah.
text thread, the three of us. And Mia will be like, what's wrong? Because you guys are not texting like normal. So if you're stressed about something at work, you cannot block that. People in your family and your life will sense it. But if you don't acknowledge it, it actually creates much more stress. And that's what Avi and I used to do. We used to obsess about this boundary of work so much that we were like, no, I'm not going to talk about work at home. And we actually created so much stress
You
for each other.
exacerbate it.
And it's actually more important that, like, to create a connection to actually say, like, hey, and this is what I said to this woman that I mentor. I said, listen, it's actually, don't think of it as a burden. You sharing yourself openly is never a burden to anyone. And this is a huge misconception that I just want to be honest, like I had for most of my life. Like, I don't want to burden anyone with my difficult feelings. The burden is they already feel it, but you're not acknowledging it. So then they have to struggle and like figure out what is going on. Why is Avi upset? Is he upset at me? Is he unhappy with something else? Like, you're actually creating work for people, and you're doing this at work, by the way, as well. So if something in your family is stressing you out and you come into a work setting
That
and you
is
don't acknowledge it to your team or your colleagues, especially if you're a leader of a team, you're creating struggle for them because they're sensing that something is off. I've talked about how we all have this emotional whiteboard,
emotionally.
right? It's one of Avi's favorite things that I talk about, actually, a lot of leaders that I work with. So your feelings, how you're feeling, everybody can sense it. We humans are so good at it. Please don't tell me you have a good poker face. None of us do. We sense each other's feelings. So you come into work and you, let's say you're stressed about something at home. Everyone is sensing something is off, but they don't know the context. They don't know what. So you know what they try, what they do immediately? Oh my God, it's something I did. Like, especially if you lead a team and you're coming in and you're not as effusive as you usually are, or friendly, or just a different energy, everyone is going to start to stress. Oh, is this something I did? Is Avi mad at me? Is Natalie upset at me? So that's actually the burden. The burden is not you openly sharing, and you don't have to share every detail, just like with your family, you don't need to share every detail. But acknowledging and saying, like, hey, just want to let you know, like, some stuff is going on at work, and then maybe you want to talk about it. Or, hey, team, like, just want to let you know, I'm like going through some stressful stuff with my family. That's why I'm off a little bit. That's when you release the burden. So, artificial boundaries, I think, create more damage when we like try to really not share because we just have to realize that we all sense each other really, really well. But when we don't give context around what people are sensing, we're creating a lot of struggle for them. And that I think is a giant lesson Avi and I have learned is to really, and again, not that we do it perfectly or don't screw this up all the time, but we have the awareness. And the whole thing with the phone that Avi just talked about, I actually just want to highlight this because this is true with kids too. Mia said something once to me. I think I told you this, Avi, but maybe not. I think she was like around 15, where she said, you know, it's not that I'm stressed out when you have to do work around me. But like when you're on your phone and I don't know what's going on and I just see you, like that's actually stressful. So I say this to parents who work all the time. Like if you need to write an email around your kids, write the email. Because if you're sitting there and like thinking about the work thing, but not letting yourself do it, you're actually not with your kids. You're not focusing on your kids. But then say, hey, babes, like that's what I would say to her. Hey, babes, like, listen, I'm sorry. Like, I really need to write this email right now because it's like in my head. And then she like knows what I'm doing on my phone. So it's not, oh, my mama is ignoring me. It's, oh, she needs to write a work email, right? So I think this boundary thing, I think it's really important to recognize nuance around it. Avi, can you talk about, because you've definitely been, I have too, but you've definitely been in a situation, like I'm thinking about your job before Amazon. We don't need to name that company. Avi works at Amazon now and loves his work. But you were in a place for about a year where you really did not like your job. Like that was hardcore bad. So how do you handle this, like this whole work-life thing if you're really unhappy at work? Right? If work is a really unhappy thing, like, don't you then want to really separate it from everything else or not? Like, just talk about that because, you know, Monica and Melissa have brought this up. Like, it's what if you don't like a lot of people don't have a job that they feel connected to or they like, they're just doing it to pay the bills. Like, does that change anything? I have a thought, but I want you to share.
I mean, I think it definitely does. And as you said, the awareness is key to you start from that place. And again, very candidly, I remember after my, I don't know, first, second or third day in that role, I walked into the kitchen and just told you, like, I know I'm not going to stay in this company very long. And it was sort of a version of the like emotional whiteboard of the organization. Like I just sensed that I wasn't connected to, the energy, the people, and I tried. And as Natalie knows, I'm someone who tries to find the best in everything, but I couldn't force it. So it was a shift, and it was hard. And so I worked through it. I think I didn't talk about my work as much. Like I think my if you plotted it on a graph. Like since I started at Amazon 2+ years ago, my talk about work has gone way up, and it's because I'm way more engaged and there's so much more that I can share energetically, excitedly. But when you don't, it changed. And I think I talked about it less. Was that the right decision? I don't know if it was right or wrong, but it sort of naturally happened. And I sought out other topics, I guess, other ways to interact. It did feel a little bit, if I reflect on it, that I was in a little bit of a holding pattern. Like I knew it was temporary, and I had a vision that I would move to something better and more fulfilling, which I did, and that was great. But yeah, it's a challenge. I think in a relationship, what you want to feel that you're supported. No matter what your professional situation, and actually, I have a lot of friends and former colleagues who have been let go, and so they don't have jobs, and they feel in some ways very desperate to find that next job to reach that place. And I've also been in that, you know, we were in that situation too, where I was laid off for many months. And from a relationship calibration perspective, I think feeling the support from your partner is what can help you retain the confidence that you need to grow and to find your next phase, to find your next role, whatever it is. And sometimes that means making a change, making some sort of a pivot. Other times it's enough to just keep you sustained so that you can reach your next place.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we don't have time to talk about this now, and that's not the topic, but I, you know, like, what do you do if you really don't like your work? I think that's a big topic. And there's a lot of thoughts I have about that, but I think that it's really important. If you are in a place where, you know, your work is not a, something in your life that gives you something back. Like I've talked about this before. I don't think you need to love your work. I think this idea that you always love your job, just this whole concept of love your work has never sat right with me. My work is very meaningful to me, right? And I know I've worked in the corporate sectors, obviously, for 20 years. I've built tech companies, I've run companies. And one of the reasons I've talked about this, that I burnt out and I lifed out, wasn't just overworking, which I definitely did, but it was, and Monica just shared this in chat actually, is that I never actually spent time getting to know myself to recognize like, what are my unique gifts? And how can I share them with others in my work in ways that feel aligned to them? Was I a decent tech CEO? Yeah, I'm pretty smart. I'm hardworking. Was I great at it? No. Was I a decent manager of people? Yeah. Was I great at it? That's not my gift. That's Avi's gift. Avi is an incredible manager. And so for me, one of the reasons that I believe, and actually I do want to say a couple words about this. You know, when we talk about burnout, we often think about like overworking and working too much, and that is absolutely a part of it. But I think another giant part of it is, and maybe you're not burnt out, maybe you're what I call lifed out. And I've shared this a lot in recent emails, where you have enough energy, like you're getting through the day, but you don't feel any aliveness. So if you're burnt out or lifed out, I think a giant contributor is that you're not doing enough things in your life that are fulfilling, that give you aliveness. So it's not doing too much necessarily, like doing too much work. It's actually not doing enough of what really fulfills you. And like when you don't have a job that does that, that makes it more challenging. And so I think, like as Monica just said, learning to, it has to start with like really being truthful with yourself, which is really hard. Like I had to tell myself the truth after I burnt out and lifed out, and Avi was such a witness to this, that being a CEO of a tech company is not what I want to do and is not anything that is aligned with my unique gifts. That was really hard because for 20 years, that was my identity. That is who I thought I was going to be. That was my whole self. And so that was really hard to unravel that story and to then ask myself this very scary question, like, what do I want to do? Like, what do I actually want to do? Not should do, could do, but want to do. What are my unique gifts? And that's when I, and again, this wasn't overnight. This was years, right? A really difficult inner work that I was stumbling around in, but to acknowledge that, well, my gifts are, I see what's possible for people and I help them actually get there, right? I've called myself this positive change catalyst. That's what I've done for Avi for 27 years, for better or worse, that I have a gift for speaking. I have a gift for teaching, that I have a gift for writing. And that all sounds wonderful. Until I had to realize I have to completely reinvent my career and myself. And that's really hard. Like, and I did, right? I've written books and I speak and I teach and I mentor people, but none of it was easy because I had to change the story that I believed about myself. And I'm glad that I like went on this angle. And Monica, thank you for sharing in chat because you got me to think about this. I think that is at the very core of like, finding a career that fulfills you. Again, I don't love this idea of loving your job. I think it's too vague. It has to begin with yourself. And Avi has been such a witness for me. And actually, I do want to use this moment because I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast. If you get my emails, you probably know I've shared this. So I am leading, and this is the first time I'm ever doing it, a small group mentorship program called Unleashing Aliveness that's going to kick off in early May. And I think some of you on here have already signed up. I see some names. And it's all about, like, the whole thing we're going to do is to acknowledge and recognize and unravel these stories that we believe about ourselves that are actually keeping us stuck, burnt out, lifed out, away from fulfillment. And these stories, we don't make them up. We pick them up. We pick them up from our families, from our society, from our culture. But to unravel them, that's the first place we begin. We have to get honest about, like, what are the beliefs that are holding us in a place of stuckness or being burnt out or lifed out? And then what is a new story that we want to tell that we actually want to embody? Like, what is actually possible for us? What is flourishing actually feel like? What does aliveness feel like? And actually then set those exciting goals and start taking action. So I've never done this as a small group mentorship. And I really, really encourage you, if this conversation, if what I'm saying now is pulling at you, reach out. You can send me, just open your email right now and just put unleashing aliveness or mentorship in the subject line. Send me an email and I'll send you the information. We'll set up a chat to talk about it. It's really meaningful inner work. It is the most important inner work you have to do. The reason I'm doing this as a mentorship is you cannot do this work alone. You cannot, not because you're unable or because you're not brilliant, but because your brain is so addicted and so like held tight by these stories that you think are your identity, that you need someone to be your mirror. You need someone to not let you off the hook of peeling away that story. And so that's why I'm doing this. And I really, really encourage you, if this is pulling at you, reach out. Let's have a conversation about it. I'm keeping the group really small. So essentially you're getting one-on-one mentorship with me in a group setting. It's really, really powerful. We're going to start in early May. Send me an email to get the rest of the details. But actually, I want to talk about this because I want Avi to talk about one of the stories that I've helped him unravel. And I think it is really important. This like ties into a lot of things we've been talking about. And I'm going to tee it up for you, Avi. So one of the stories that Avi has had about himself since we've met in college is he's not ambitious. That's a story Avi has had, that I'm the ambitious one, that I'm the one with like the super successful career and like starting companies and writing books. And Avi is not ambitious. That's been his story. And it's a story that he picked up from his family. It's a story that he's just like, I'm not ambitious. And he is really, I just want to acknowledge, I've had my foot up his butt for 20 years because I think this is BS. I think labeling ourselves as anything limits ourselves. So, but especially in the last few years, including when he was considering this job at Amazon and he was like, considering like, oh, I don't know if I'm up to this, et cetera. And I've really like been working with him. Avi is, as I said, my longest mentorship client. So if you want to talk to anyone, by the way, about like my effectiveness as a mentor, you can send me an email. I'll connect you with Avi. I really mean that. And him being my husband is nothing like, it doesn't prevent the true mentorship. But talk about that, Avi, because unraveling that story and realizing that it's just a belief is actually like really unleashed a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in Avi. And I think goodness for the world. So just talk about that a little bit, because I think it's a great example of both our partnership and like bringing our work into each other's lives and using our skills with each other, our unique gifts. But also I think just as since we've been talking about like finding work that, you know, nourishes you, it involves peeling off these stories. So just talk about unraveling this I'm not ambitious story, because you're in the middle of it.
It is very true. And yeah, didn't I say this to you like right before we came here? I came to the kitchen. I was like, I just had, and I think it was related to you, one of your posts or recent emails about possible selves. And I just had these moments of contemplation that made me realize that I was in fact holding myself back. I've held these limiting beliefs, and then we talked about it in sort of the context of how does it connect to what I'm actually trying to achieve, but then telling myself that I'm not ambitious. And so it removes in some sense the responsibility because, oh, if it doesn't work out, oh, I wasn't actually trying to achieve something. But that is not actually courageous or interesting or in any way trying to bring myself to a next place of evolution. So why would I limit myself? And you know, this is like decades of me unpeeling. And so, you know, at 46, how is it possible it's sort of taken me this long? And I feel like, you know, I've always known it. And also being with and married to someone who is almost evidently ambitious, it was actually easier for me to kind of operate in a little bit of your shadow. And it creates this false story where that, but I was easy. It was easy for me to hold because I was able to maintain myself on this plateau. even as I was achieving more professionally, you know, financially and otherwise, growing responsibility and whatever, but I was, it was like this false ceiling. And I will tell you, and as you know, Natalie, it liberates you to in ways that you can't even imagine. Of course, it's scary to realize that you're holding this story and you can actually shed it. That's the amazing, oh wait, I can actually change the story. And but it's also scary because, oh wait, what happens if I change the story? What is that going to mean? But there's such beauty in that uncertainty and being able to go, because like, why else are we here if not to sort of venture into this, into these places that we've never gone to as our beings? You know, we say like, and I love to travel. I love all of the trips that we've gone. It's in some ways, it's no different. I love to travel to a new place. Why not bring ourselves to a new place? But this is actually, yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up. It's sort of, it's in some ways therapeutic for me because I almost forgot that I told you this right before we left. And it is, it's like this fundamental human unlock for me that that's in the story has burdened me and has held me down, and it's and I can feel myself, can feel my soul becoming lighter just through this conversation.
Well, I just want to say, like I said, I don't, you know, if you're even thinking of doing this mentorship group with me or mentorship work, I don't think I could have a better testimonial than this. I think we should just stop talking. Not that it's about that, but this is the power, right? This is what Avi just shared. This is the power of getting really, really honest with yourself about these stories that you're hanging on to because you believe it's your only option, or you believe it's a core to your identity. And this is the power of loosening them. And it, because it opens up this giant possibility, and like, you can hear it in Avi's voice. And so I just can't reiterate enough. Like, if you're listening to this and you're feeling that spark inside of like, I want more of that. Like, I am really sick and tired of defining myself by like, this is who I am. This is who I've always been. And like, keeping yourself small or keeping yourself stuck or keeping yourself, reach out, because this is the power of this work, but you cannot do this alone. Because you can't see it, right? We're not objective with ourselves. And I just want to, like, one of the things Avi said, you know, he had the story about himself that he's not ambitious. And there are two things in that. One is, and Avi talked about this, like, and this is really hard truth to recognize, but these stories that we believe that are keeping us stuck or small, they actually give us comfort. And Avi talked about that. It kind of made it easier for him. He didn't have to try that hard, right? He didn't have to reach for another career. He didn't have to. Because, hey, I'm not ambitious. That's, you know, right. Natalie's ambitious. Look, she can, but I'm not ambitious. So it actually, and this is hurtful inside and painful, but so liberating to realize, is these stories I'm believing, I'm actually finding comfort in them, because if I let them go, then I can actually step into my greatness. And that's scary. But it's really, really powerful. So that's one thing. Like, the stories we believe that are keeping us stuck actually give us safety. There's safety in this, like, well, I'm not meant to be, I'm not great at this. I have never started anything. I am not ambitious. Like, these stories, they actually give us safety, because then we don't actually have to own our gifts. We don't have to discover them. We don't have to try stuff that may not work. And the other thing that Avi said that I just, even just this idea of like, I am not ambitious. It's not just a story you believe about yourself. And I'm not saying that's your story. If you're listening, you have your own stories, but the words, like, there's a story we all have about the word ambition, right? You either believe it's a great thing, or many people believe it's a terrible thing. So also just getting really honest about, like, one of my stories, and I know I've shared this, and one of the causes of my burnout 8 years ago is, I believe that life is a struggle, and it's good to struggle. Like, it is good to suffer, because this is what I was taught, right? In my family, I'm a Russian Jew, I'm a refugee. Like, the only way you can live a meaningful life is to struggle. So I learned that, right? And so I always felt, if I'm not struggling, if I'm not suffering, I'm lazy, I'm not making the best of my life, I'm being indulgent. So that, I was always had to struggle. And that story, it wasn't just about myself, but this idea that life is a struggle, that was another story, I believe. So it wasn't even about me, like that a meaningful life is all about struggle. And so getting honest about these stories is the only way to begin. It's the only really way to flourish, whether it's in your work, in your family, in your relationships, and other parts of your life. I'm trying to really not use work and life as two things, as you can see. The only way to begin is examining and loosening these stories that are keeping you stuck. And I think just to tie it back to what we started talking about, this idea of work-life balance and trying to find this elusive balance between, apparently there's only two parts of your life, work and life. That's another story that we believe. We believe that there's work and then there's life, and that we have, again, and we have to balance them in some way. That's another story. So it all begins with like getting really clear and honest with yourself. Like, what is a story that I believe? And then asking yourself, like, is the story helpful to me? Like, does the story I believe about my life, about my relationship, about myself, is it fuel me? Does it help me flourish? Does it give me aliveness? Does it give me joy? Does it help my relationship be better? Or does it actually create a burden and stress and keep me small? And I think this is such like the theme that Avi and I have been talking about, that I just like want to highlight it. Okay, we have a few minutes left and I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. And I feel like it's time for a round of Avi, share some things with our wonderful audience about Natalie that, you know, 27 years of being together, and you guys can ask whatever you want, but, and I'm just trying to read what everyone shares in chat and integrate it. But, you know, some things that people, I don't know, you can pick, may not know about me, surprising things, unexpected things. You know, I just always think for a lifelong partner, this is fun.
are there any boundaries, or we're just gonna just full on? So first of all, to the audience, please share in chat. I would love to ask whatever questions you have as well.
What do you want to know?
It can go both ways. If you have questions about me, I guess you could ask them also. But I will go back to, I mentioned it very briefly there. And it's more a thing about us. Like if you met us, you would almost think, how the heck are they together? Because we exist in the world so differently. I am a total extrovert. And Natalie, as Mia says, is the wildest extroverted introvert. But the funny thing about Natalie is, on that topic, she sometimes forgets this about herself. So over the weekend, right, did this amazing talk on stage, brought me to tears talking about her grandfather, my grandfather. And then this is like taking an immense amount of energy, dozens of people all the time. And then it's almost like she forgets who she is because she's so caught up in the energy. And then we get back at, I don't know, 8 p.m. Why am I so tired, Avi? The next day, why am I so, after barely sleeping because she's still buzzing from all this, why am I so tired? I don't understand. So it is not to say that we don't often lose ourselves in the moment, but this is a funny thing. And this happens pretty much all the time. She'll come back from a talk, business trip, whatever. Why am I so tired? I've only been talking for the last 30 hours straight. So this is a funny little tidbit. But
that is a funny thing, because Avi and our daughter Mia, who's been on this podcast, and I talk about her all the time, so y'all probably are familiar with her. They're extroverts and they love to just chit chat. So when they're both home, like they will just go for like literally hours and talk about nothing, just like, and that's how they connect. And I can't. So we'll be at the table and I will tune out because I can have so much interaction, and I'll tune back in.
Self-preservation.
That's right. Self-preservation. And I'll look at Mia and I'll be like, Mia, what are you guys talking about? And Mia will be like, mama, just go right back in wherever you were. This is not interesting at all. And so just like, but I do want to say like one thing into this theme of like integrating ourselves into, and our work and our relationships. One of the things my that I had to get honest with myself when I after I burnt out was that yes, I am a lot of me is an introvert and I need a lot of quiet time and alone time. And then I had to have the courage to actually say to Mia and Avi, guys, I need a lot more alone time. And that was really hard
and
for
not
me
feel
because
bad about it.
That's right. And I still this is still a challenge. Like on a weekend, if I just go read for 2 hours or the thing that I need the most, and I think this is, I think everyone needs it. I think some people more than others, but I need unstructured alone time. And during that time, like this is my creative time. This is when I like, I might read a whole book and then write notes and like think about how I can share it with you all, or I might paint, or I might just like sit in a chair and just be, but I need that for survival and for thriving actually, not just survival. But I had to have the courage to like tell Avi and Mia, I need this time. That was really hard because I was like, wow, bad mom, bad wife, like don't want to spend time with my family. That was a story, right? And so like, it's another really good teachable moment, as Mia would say, mama, you turn everything into a teachable moment. Teachable moment, getting to know yourself and then actually acknowledging that to your family is really important because Avi and Mia did not say, oh my God, you're a horrible mom, horrible wife. You need time away from us. They were like, oh my God, thank God. Like they've always sensed that I needed it, but I was like, forcing myself to not create that boundary. And I was causing so much stress to everyone. And fine, okay, so on a weekend, I need a couple hours. Great. They entertain each other or on their own. And so again, it's like getting to know yourself and then getting honest about that with people in your life. And I think a big part of that is just not assuming that you know how they're going to react. I think this is such a damaging thing that I used to do. I assumed that they wouldn't like that. Or I assume people at work wouldn't like if they knew me. That is mostly our assumption we're projecting. So just like being more open about that. And you know, like this is such a great conversation about that, that we could go on for a long time. Monica wants to know, this is a fun question. Cause I know
that's a good one.
What was it about Natalie that first attracted you? Okay, Avi, we can end on this note cause we have to wrap up.
It's a good one. I feel like we should have a sequel to this podcast called
I don't know
the origin stories. Right, the origin story, because I think folks would, we can make it very entertaining. Anyway, it's a very short answer, Monica. And it is Natalie it was an otherness to her. She was so different than any human or woman that I had ever encountered before that it was like this immediate lightning bolt. Now, the origin story would say, well, we actually shared a work study job at Wesleyan and we had a bunch of interactions. But and maybe it's the story that I'm telling myself as I go back. I just remember so distinctly feelings that I couldn't describe at the time. But I was just so deeply attracted to this otherness. I just knew that if I was able to somehow convince her to be with me, my life would be fun. It would take on a fundamentally different shape and direction, and that I would have been able to do otherwise. And I would say, like, I made kind of the best choice.
Avi's the best, isn't he? But can I just say, like, in wrapping this up, I love this, a great answer, Avi. But I think it's true for both of us, and Avi and I have talked about this recently, actually a lot. On paper, we were the most like, I was a super like achiever, super nerd, super like, and Avi was not. I'm like, Avi used to look like the Beastie Boys. He used to wear like pants that would be around
two
his, like,
earrings,
his, two earrings, buzz cut. His pants were falling off, like giant shirts. And I was like Miss Preppy, like top of my yep. class. Like, but you know, like we just didn't Russian refugee. Like it just, there was nothing on paper that worked. And so a lot of people ask us like, how does it work? And the thing is like, I think Avi and I, when we first brought our lives together, like our souls knew our greater purpose for being together, yes. But we didn't. And just like in clarity, because I think, you know, just like Avi and I have been through all the things and all the hard things and all the terrible things and all the wonderful things. Like we've really like, we could do 17 episodes about that. But I think that like, Avi said this beautiful thing. It's a beautiful way to wrap this. He said this a couple of years ago, I think. He said, I think that only recently have we realized like the karmic purpose for why we're together. So like, I couldn't answer the question. Like all of this is explaining like why Avi and I got together in the first place. But I think that there, like, that's the way to say it. Like, there was a sense of like that we're meant to be together, but it's definitely like it's been anything but a smooth ride. I just want to be really honest about that. Like, we're going to wrap, so we're not going to talk about it. But Avi and I have been through all the things and all the horrible and the hard things, and we've not always been in sync, and we've gone through very hard parts of our relationship. And so it's kind of fun to think to the beginning and the middle and where we are now. And I guess the one theme I want to wrap with is what we've gotten really much better at is like it all comes down to connection and communication. Just like, and that's the hard thing, but that's also the thing. So on that, thank you everyone for being here. Thank you, Avi, for being my impromptu guest. And thank you everyone for being such a beautiful connected audience today for this last minute impromptu gathering. And again, just as a because it's going to start in a few weeks, if you're interested in Unleashing Aliveness, the small mentorship program I'm going to do starting in early May, send me an email. It's natalie@happier.com. You all have my email. Just let me know you're interested and I'll share more. Or if you have any follow-up questions, if you're listening to this as a recording, please feel free. But just as a, I always like to give you homework, awesome human homework. And like your homework is to spend a little bit of time this week just going within yourself, go on a travel, on a trip within yourself, and just think about what are some of the stories that you believe for so long they feel like they're part of you that may not be serving you in your relationship, in your work, in your life. And maybe think about this question that I asked, like, is this story helpful? And if not, what are some ways that you can loosen it? And I'd love to help you loosen it so you can reach out. We can talk about unleashing aliveness. And with that, Avi is going to go back to his work calls, and I'm going to go back to my work calls on two different floors of this beautiful Airbnb that we love.
In a balanced way. In a balanced way.
No, or not. Today is not balanced. Actually, today,
No,
Avi and I just
all
like working nonstop all day long.
over.
Thank you all. Thank you, Avi. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
being. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being such awesome humans. Thank you for allowing us to share this part of our lives, whether you are here with us live or listening on the podcasting platform later or in the recording. Incredibly grateful for you. We have a very, very exciting guest on May 1st for the podcast. So stay tuned for my email. I'll announce who that is. Have an awesome rest of your day, awesome humans. Take care. All right, awesome humans. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. And I would love to know what resonated. What questions do you have? What are you excited to practice? So send us an email to team@happier.com. And please rest assured, if you send an email that you'd love for me to read, I will always get it in my inbox. My team will send it to me. Let's stay in touch so you can keep practicing skills to help you struggle less and thrive more in work and life. The best way to do it is to go to happier.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, I would never send you spam. It's just more practices, skills, and stories to help you embrace your inner awesome human. I can't wait to see you next week.